Back here on Vindanity, we only took about a week off this time, and we are back. I'm Dan Flanagan with Tom Flanagan and old Whistling Vince Hernandez.
Whistler.
Whistle babe.
That was some pretty impressive whistling you were doing before the podcast. I think we got to get you to record our new intro music.
Yeah, I suppose. I guess I'm a whistler. I didn't realize that.
We've had the same intro music for a long time.
I think Whistling Vince Hernandez used to be making some lightsaber noises in the background.
I think we could find a way to make that work.
So I'm excited for this hour and a half long Star Wars pod.
Let's get into it.
Ryan,
what do you think's
Johnson.
Gonna happen? So who is the Last Jedi?
We'll find out.
Is Luke Skywalker in this movie?
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that it might be Luke Skywalker.
Well, but we don't really know.
Is he in the movie?
He is in the movie.
Okay.
Mark Hamill.
Nice. So he's like an old man now?
He's an old man.
Is Yoda in the movie?
Yoda's dead.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Spoiler alert.
Lucas.
Yoda died in the second movie.
How are you going to go in
1983?
Well,
so if you haven't had time.
Sorry.
R.I.P. Yoda.
I know it might be new to you, Dan, but.
deeply missed. Not R.I.P. though to the Vikings winning streak.
Definitely not.
We thought maybe, you know, we'd taken so long between doing a pod, they were winning without us podcasting. We'd maybe kill the momentum down in Atlanta. I'll be honest. I thought they were going to lose that game to the Falcons. I thought it was a tough matchup for them. The Falcons offense seemed like it had found a role. Figured, you know, maybe they could guard Julio Jones, but the Falcons would hurt him with some other players. They're getting Devontae Freeman back. Turns out we've been spending a lot of time on Case Keenum, Adam Thielen, for good reason. Vikings still have a pretty good defense.
They do.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty impressive.
That was best case scenario for me, and now I'm almost looking at this and I'm saying, are they going to lose another game?
They could set up, depending on how things play out in Green Bay, could set up as a pretty easy schedule if they get through this Sunday to close out the season, but... Yeah, impressive performance by the defense against Atlanta. Let them move the ball a little bit, but held them to field goals. Took advantage of maybe some shaky Dan Quinn coaching down the stretch. Yeah. But Mike Zimmer, you know, we praised Pat Shurmur last week. He's coming up with a different game plan every week, and we were maybe a little down on him during the collapse last year. But I think, I was trying to think about this the other day. Obviously, you have, you know, someone like Belichick at the top of the list. Is Zimmer like a top five coach in the league? I'm trying to think of who the other coaches is that are that are clearly better than him.
Yeah, I mean, I think this, I don't want to come off like a dumbass, but is there a Coach of the Year award in the NFL?
Mm-hmm.
There is.
Yeah. I think it's going to be the Rams coach.
Yeah.
People really like...
that. It would be him or Zimmer.
Yeah, I think he's got the narrative of he's only 31 years old.
Yeah, everybody
what the heck?
Freaking loves that thing.
So.
But, like, I mean, if you just look at through, you know, injuries and just...
in the NFL.
And yes, it is. Let's pile that on the NFL as well.
Why can't a 62-year-old man win Coach of the Year?
But I just... if you just think about all of the twists and turns and the amount of, like, shuffling and planning he had to do, like, he's been a busy man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard someone else say it. I can't remember who it was now. But what's been impressive is they're winning in different ways almost every week.
Yeah.
You know, they've had some games, like the game against Washington, they had to rely on their offense. Keenum put up a ton of points. You know, I guess the Rams, it was kind of a mixture of both. This game, they kind of won off their defense.
Yeah.
It seems like... you know, different things are happening each week. They keep finding ways to win. So, yeah, I mean, eight wins in a row now with a record of 10-2. And, you know, I think probably going to deal with it the rest of the year. You know, just the Case Keenum factor, the fact that this was unexpected. You're kind of going to be looking over your shoulder the whole way, seeing if the other shoe's going to drop. But, you know, part of it's reputation and history. But I was thinking about this earlier this week. They've had essentially the same season as the Patriots.
Yeah.
No one questions the Patriots, but both teams started 2-2. Both have 8-game winning streaks. They've played pretty similar schedules. You know, Patriots lost to the Panthers. Vikings play them this week. Vikings lost to the Steelers. Patriots play them in a couple weeks. They both beat the Saints and the Falcons. I mean, they've essentially had the same season, different ways of getting it done. But, you know, if we're not questioning the Patriots, I guess at this point, can't really question this Vikings season either.
Yeah, it's just, it's... It's interesting. The only thing I'm, like, a little concerned about is have the Vikings really faced a super legit defense with this whole year. And
Ravens.
And the Rams, too.
Yeah. Those were two pretty solid defenses. The Falcons weren't pretty good defense, too. But that would be the one thing I would be concerned about is if they end up... Like, I'm not worried about top 20 defense or something. But if they have to face, like, one of the top five defenses, like, what will they look like? I don't know if the Seahawks have really been themselves this year on defense, but somebody that.
It's weird because I never would have thought I'd say, like, well, what happens if they take away the Case Keenum passing game? Like, what if a team can cancel out Adam Thielen? And it's like, we kind of saw it, like, well, when that happens, Latavius Murray steps up to the plate. It's just weird, all the different unexpected ways it's that weird, they can beat teams.
Yeah. And they've gotten some stuff done with their play calling. Yeah, the Panthers could be a good test for them. It's going to be a game on grass, and they've, you know, Luke Kuechly, obviously, and pretty good pass rush. So, be interesting to see how they play against that. I think, you know, certainly if they matched up with the Eagles in the playoffs, that's a really tough defense, a very good front seven, so that could be a tough matchup. I think it becomes easier for them if they can get home field and play it indoors on turf, but... Obviously, that's still a ways down the road, but, you know, you look at kind of how this matches up, and now, you know, I thought they were going to lose to the Falcons. They won. This is probably going to send it the other way because I have control over what happens in every single game, but, you know, I...
Spoiler alert again.
I do
Dan
feel...
controls the universe.
I do feel like they match up pretty well with the Panthers. At least with the Panthers' offense. I mentioned, you know, their defense can be tough, but... They are getting Greg Olsen, Ryan Khalil back, so that'll help them offensively to some extent. But I feel like, still overall, it's not a great offensive line. I'm going to very much enjoy seeing Matt Khalil block against the Vikings as opposed to block for the Vikings.
Very entertaining.
Well, I think they can get a pass rush on Cam Newton, and they don't, you know, they have Jonathan Stewart and Christian McCaffrey of that Visa commercial, the, you know, two guys that see them in the coffee shop and get super excited. But I think they're more exciting when they're buying Starbucks than when they're teaming up in the backfield. Yeah. And I think there's not a lot of receiving options. So I feel like they've generally defended the Panthers pretty well. They've played them quite a bit. And, I think they can slow down that offense.
Yeah, I was more... Of the two games, the two tougher games, you know, last week and this week, I was way more concerned about the Falcons game, but I was still pretty confident going into the Falcons game just because they've, had, like, a decent track record against Matt Ryan the past couple of years. But this game, I feel a little bit more confident about than even the Falcons game. And just because... Mike Zimmer has done well against Cam Newton when they have faced off, and usually, you know, Cam for whatever reason has just never had like a good game against them. And I'm honestly more worried about that defense, like playing that defense, than I am our defense shutting down.
It could definitely be an ugly game, you know, field goal battle, something like that. But yeah, if you look at the Panthers receivers, and I don't know how big of an impact Greg Olsen can make still working his way back from his foot injury, he tried to come back once already and immediately hurt himself again. So, you know, Devin Funchess is their top receiver. I had Devin Funchess on my fantasy team, and I wasn't very good because of my fantasy receivers. So yeah. Not too concerned about Devin Funchess. I feel like Xavier Rhodes can slow him down, and there's not a ton of other options downfield for him. So, see how that plays out. But, seems like a pretty good matchup. I do have to say, I enjoyed watching their game against the Saints last week, and Matt Khalil was, as his custom, getting roasted by Cameron Jordan. Troy Aikman on there saying, you know, the Panthers gave Matt Khalil a lot of money. They had high expectations for him. This is just not what they expected. I'm sitting there going,
this is exactly
I could have told them what to expect watching Matt Khalil for 3-4 years. This is what he does.
More time building a pizza chain here than working on his blocking.
Pyology doing great. The blocking of Cameron Jordan, not
as great.
Not that as well.
It's an okay pizza.
So I guess, yeah, I'd kind of forgotten about that game last week. It's just, it's fun that they had a few teams that kind of, you know, had something to, like, really play for and were really showing up. Because it kind of eased some of my concerns that they were going to kind of be able to back in to, you know, ultimately wherever they end up in the playoffs. I guess, you know, those last three are, you know, should not be real challenging for them.
Unless Rodgers comes
back. Yeah. Which, what do we think?
I think it depends on this Cleveland game. I mean, if they beat Cleveland, which...
They should.
They're 7-6, especially if the Vikings beat the Panthers. Now, all of a sudden, they're one game out of a playoff spot playing the Panthers. If he's healthy, I gotta think he's coming back.
Oh my God.
If they have a playoff spot in reach.
No!
If they lose to Cleveland, yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe he wants revenge on the Vikings, but I can't imagine, it wouldn't seem all that prudent to bring him back if they can't make the playoffs. And it does feel like you're going to have to go at least 10-6 to make the playoffs in the NFC.
Yeah.
6-6 right now. So,
ugh.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly looms as a bringer of the Sunday series.
He straight up got hurt, like, was out for several games, and somehow just the, like, thought that he could come back.
He's done this before. The year he broke his collarbone, now this was the year the NFC North sucked, and I think they got in at, like, 7-8-1 or something like that, but he broke his collarbone that year, came back for the last game of the season against the Bears. It was for the division, and he was dominant, and they beat the Bears. And I don't think they did a ton in the playoffs that year, but, yeah, I mean, he certainly is capable of coming back and making an impact. So, yeah, certainly that looms as a scary option if he comes back, and if they can run the table, get into the playoffs, no one's going to want to face them. But there is also a scenario for the Vikings where this day could shape up perfectly for them. If they beat the Panthers, you somehow get Cleveland to beat the Packers, which I'm trying to just be optimistic about that one. Can Cleveland go 0-16? They've got to win one.
Here's the thing.
Hugh Jackson just found out he's keeping his job. I don't know.
It's going to be fired up.
Yeah. Do they want to play for Hugh Jackson? I don't know. But
I just think that whatever we say, it's not going to matter.
They always seem to have it work out for them, but it's in Cleveland. Brett Hundley's bad.
Yeah.
Can't Cleveland play well once?
To be honest, I feel like we need... I don't know. Was anyone getting excited about Brett Hundley after last week? Was anybody like, well, maybe he's not actually that bad?
No, because he threw for like 80 yards.
Because
excited about him after that Steelers.
He played fairly well against the Steelers.
Is it Brett or Brent? Brett. Is there an N?
Brett.
There's no M.
No M.
So, I feel like, you know, who's most excited about how Brett Hundley played last week? Brett Hundley. I feel like he's going to be a little bit overconfident.
It's possible. I mean, let's put it this way. If the Packers lose to the Browns and get knocked out, they say Rodgers isn't coming back, that's when I start to believe that the tide is turning on the Vikings' luck, and this is just their year. Because that's not a thing that happens. The Packers always have it work out for
them.
Well,
and the minute I realized Rodgers, like, could potentially come back and wasn't actually out for the season, that's when I was just like, oh, he will come back.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, I almost do still feel like even if they're out of the playoffs, he comes back just for that Vikings game, just to try to destroy
just
them.
To troll.
And I mean, even if it works, that probably doesn't kill the Vikings season, but, like, it would be kind of funny.
He would just, like, come out for one drive, just, like, throw a touchdown pass and then go sit on the bench.
I was just, okay, so, if we want to go back to being pessimistic, I just love this. So... Let's say the Vikings lose to Carolina, Rodgers comes back, all of a sudden it's getting a little scarier again. They'd probably still win the division. They go to that Packers game, Saturday night, NBC, Joe Mashapinto in the Lambeau Field stands, looking on. Aaron Rodgers just carves up the Vikings defense, Clay Matthews' exact same play breaks Case Keenum's collarbone.
No!
They go right off into the sunset to fly drones and drive pickup trucks together, make goofy faces while listening to cheesy 80s songs and playing with their dog. And the Viking season just ends.
Rodgers, I gotcha.
In a hail of
misery. I'm gonna whip his ass.
That, yeah.
I don't know, but then we would get to see the return of Teddy Bridgewater.
That's true. We've always got one more move.
That's the final move for Mike Zimmer.
So, I don't know. Maybe this is how it's supposed to play out.
Teddy will just walk in. Believe it or not, I'm walking. And then Clay Matthews will hit him in the head with a drone. And then we'll be down to Kyle Sloter.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Yeah, this brings up a... So I was driving around today and I thought of a segment that I thought we could do on the pod, but now I don't really want to do it anymore. I thought we could spend 90 seconds where we just allowed our enthusiasm to flow and we talked about how the Super Bowl was a possibility. Well, yeah. I don't actually want
to
do
that. I'll go back to what I was saying, though. I don't think I ever said what the nice scenario for Sunday was.
Yeah.
They beat the Panthers. The Packers do somehow lose that Cleveland game. And the Rams beat the Eagles at home, which is feasible. I mean, All of a sudden now, Vikings are sitting at 11-2. I think they clinched the division at that point.
Yes.
They are a game ahead of both the Rams and the Eagles. They would for sure have a tiebreaker over the Rams from beating them. And I'm pretty sure, I didn't look all that up, but they would pretty sure they'd have the tiebreaker over the Eagles. I think it goes to strength of schedule. They have more quality wins than the Eagles do. I mean, all of a sudden, yeah, then you're three games away of sitting in pretty prime position to get that one seed. So,
yeah.
I mean, there's a very, very promising scenario that can play out tomorrow, too.
There's all sorts of things that are working out in their favor this year that it's just crazy. They could get in position for home field throughout. Or they're in, you know, obviously they're in position for it now, but it's just, like, it's very feasible for them to pull that off. And then if they do,
I mean, I honestly don't remember, at least as long as I've been following the NFL, there's never been a team that's played the Super Bowl in their home stadium. I can't remember a time when it's even
close. I don't remember that either.
I think the closest was Tampa Bay. I think the year after Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl, the Super Bowl was in Tampa Bay that following year. And I think that might have been the close. I don't know where.
I feel like there's been some. Yeah, I feel like there's been some years where it's been talked about leading into the season. I think maybe that year it was in Dallas. The Cowboys were supposed to be good, and then like they didn't. They just had a bad year.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I do remember. That's the only one I remember because Warren Sapp talked about like riding his bike to the stadium for the Super Bowl.
That would have been quite a sight.
He would have, of course, had like a BMX too.
Forward to February, Warren Sapp just sadly packing his bike into his garage. Yeah.
Got my saddlebags.
Yeah, because that's the. But they're definitely the first one in a long time that's actually like
it's
really
been a
good
serious chance. Yeah, I mean,
like the national media is
so
talking about.
Okay, so how
about Chris Collinsworth? Hey, I don't know, Al.
That's a possibility.
Oh, it could happen, Al. I don't know, Al.
I'll say Kyle Rudolph maybe could be prophetic. I remember, I think it was after they beat, I don't remember who it was, maybe after they beat the Ravens. It was pretty early in the season. He was, like, quoted afterwards as, yeah, we're just motivated by playing the Super Bowl right here in Minneapolis. And I, at the time, was like, you're getting way too far ahead of yourself, Kyle Rudolph. But, hey.
Time traveler.
All that time hanging out with Meat Sauce is giving him the ability.
He's getting some insight into the Vikings organization.
Apparently.
Meat Sauce. Just a great, great friend.
Well, okay, so since we're already slightly... I don't want to spend too much time on this because, we're treading the jinxing territory. Just real quick. A Super Bowl at home, is that much of an advantage?
I mean, I would assume most of the tickets have already been purchased.
Yeah.
I think it probably changes the dynamic of the crowd a little bit, and you're probably getting more local people trying to get seats and stuff like that. But it's not going to be like a normal Vikings crowd.
So I did just think of something. I don't know how it typically plays out in the Super Bowl, like which team gets which locker room. But if for some reason, like, the AFC team was considered the home team,
they actually would be. Because, yeah, the Patriots were wearing their white jerseys last year. The Patriots were the road team. It alternates.
So it just alternates on a yearly basis.
I don't know how they do that for locker rooms, but that would be, yeah.
Oh, what the hell? What would you use this on locker
just
room?
Imagine that, though, if, like, that was, if, like, the home team had the option of which... I mean, they're totally taking
if it's the Patriots, Bill Belichick is taking the Vikings locker room. That's not...
Anybody would, right? Yeah, just to throw them off. Oh, my God. That would be hilarious.
Got to pack up all this stuff and move it across the hall. It's a real pain in the ass.
Real pain in my ass.
Classic Mike Zimmer statement right there.
I don't think he would make many excuses.
No. I think he would grumble to himself as he
He would privately grumble, and then the first thing he would do is... tell his team, and I don't want to hear any excuses about the locker room. I want to hear any bullshit.
I wonder, we talked about this after the
Bears
game.
Get your minds right, or I'll get it right for you.
I wonder if they did win the Super Bowl, if Everson Griffin would give him a celebratory slap on the ass.
He'd just pour the Gatorade down his pants.
Oh, God.
That's really cold!
These are things that would cause NBC to cut away immediately.
Cut away!
That would be strange.
I think it's time for us to probably turn away from the Super Bowl talk.
Yeah,
We're getting a little excited.
A little upset. Yeah, that's. But it'd be very difficult to watch.
One thing, just going back to Mike Zimmer, of all the Vikings coaches that I remember,
do not besmirch the name of the still great Bud Grant,
the late great Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah. Well, but I don't remember Bud Grant, so he's not in that. Category.
All right.
But of all the ones that I can remember, he seems like the one that would be most likely to win a Super Bowl. Because, Denny Green was a great offensive mind, but I don't think Denny, I just don't think he had, the whole foundation built that Zimmer has. Brad Childress, if he would have pulled it off, I just could not see him.
No.
With, that t-shirt and hat on.
No. There is something about,
defense played really well out there.
The championship look. There was no way Brad Childress was going to be, celebrating a Super Bowl win. Mike Zimmer looks like he could celebrate a Super Bowl win.
Yeah, I mean, the downside of that is it's still hard for me to see, Case Keenum holding the Super Bowl trophy.
Yes, but this is true.
Yeah.
But Teddy Bridgewater.
Well.
Maybe. Bradford comes back.
Okay. Never mind. I was going to really travel down the... I mean...
I guess what I'd say is this... And
Kyle Slaughter.
I've been...
there'll be a Disney movie in, 3 years about this season.
The slot machine or whatever it is. we'll workshop the title. But, yeah, I mean, I was thinking just, kind of about, how excited to get about all this, how feasible it is. I was kind of thinking back to the other years the Vikings seemed like they had a shot at it. 98, we obviously got, completely fired up about it. They were the one seed, all assumed they were going to make it. I think 2009 with Brett Favre was kind of similar to this where, Favre... it was surprising that he was playing so well, so you were kind of waiting for it to fall apart all the time. But I think given the way the NFL has been this year, where there hasn't been really a team that stood out from the pack, you look at the NFC, there's probably 6 or 7 really good teams, maybe not a great one. I'm kind of feeling like I'm just going to be approaching this playoff year kind of like the NHL playoffs. We've talked about that plenty of times where we've previewed the Wild. We're like, yeah, they're good enough. They're one of the 6 or 7 teams that could win the Stanley Cup, and then you watch it, and maybe they will, maybe they won't. It's just kind of a crapshoot. Football's not as random of a sport as hockey, but when you're playing the one-game scenarios, all the teams are pretty evenly matched. You look at the teams projected to make the playoffs in the NFC, you could really tell me any of the 6 are going to make the Super Bowl. It wouldn't shock me. So, yeah, the Vikings are in that mix, but I'm not going to just sit here like in 1998 and just assume it's going to happen.
Right. Yeah, you have to be mentally prepared. And I think the weirdest thing about, the playoff structure in the NFL is just that, if they were, the fortune works out and they're able to get that first week or that week by, it's like you spend 2 weeks getting excited for something that's going to be over in like 3 hours. Whereas like in the NHL, you know, you can kind of see where things are going and you have time to like prepare. It's like we could get super jacked about this and then it could be gone in a few minutes.
Yeah, I mean, the football playoff losses are not fun. And we've had plenty of experience with those.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, and it does, you know, it does feel like a year where at least one of the teams that gets a bye is going to get beat right away. Like, it does, it feels like a season where some random team is going to be in the conference championship. And
it's just, it's weird to me to think, like, of, like, a different fan base, say, like, Atlanta or someone. Like, their fans are sitting there looking at this, like, oh, God, I hope we don't get matched up against the Vikings. Like, that's because we're always on the other end of that, like, looking at the teams at the top, like, oh, I really hope they don't have to play, you know, this team. It's just, it's weird to me. I haven't fully accepted that they, like, are one of the top seeds.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't know who that team would be. That's always so quarterback dependent. So I suppose, you know, if the Packers got in, they'd be that team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But certainly they've earned more respect. And it is weird now. We've been, you know, kind of throughout the season, I think, people have been kind of shorting them, picking them to lose a lot of these games. Now going into this,
Bill Simmons said that you could throw on him. Well, yeah, we saw how that worked.
Good call on that one, dumbass.
But it does seem like most people are picking them to beat the Panthers now. So has kind of shifted.
They're 2.5-point favorites, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, on the road. That's great.
It's exceeded expectations, that's for sure. So we'll see if it keeps playing out over the last month of the regular season, but, you know, I think whatever happens the rest of the way, and certainly it's going to be disappointing if they struggle now these next 4 weeks, but already at 10 wins, I think, you know, going into the year, we said 9, maybe 10 if they get lucky. Let's hope they can make the playoffs. They're already at 10 wins. They're almost definitely going to make the playoffs, so,
yeah.
You know, it's certainly surpassed what we thought at the beginning of the year.
It's just a lot more fun when the team's good. Really, really is.
You could write CBS Keys to the Game. It is important that we form words into sentences while recording this podcast.
The fan experience is more enjoyable if their favorite team wins.
Insightful.
So, you got a football team meeting expectations. I guess, you know, if we transition, we've kind of worked around talking about the Timberwolves the last couple times we've done this. It's been a weird season. I guess you would say they've met expectations to this point, about 25 games into the year here, about the one-third mark of the season. And it's, I guess, weird given Timberwolves' history. They've been bad for so long. We've kind of been waiting for this team to be relevant, you know, get into the playoffs. They're doing about what everybody expected. I think, you know, coming into the season, most people had them pegged 45 to 50 wins, middle-of-the-pack playoff team, somewhere, you know, a 4 to a 7 seed, depending on how it shook out. Sit here right now, they're 15-11, I think in fourth place in the West, and unless that changed with the games yesterday. But I don't know where you guys are at. It does, and I've sort of felt some of this, maybe not to the extreme that some people have, but it feels like they're kind of leaving people cold. It feels like, if anything, people are sort of disappointed with how this has gone.
I think just with all the excitement with the acquisition of Jimmy Butler, I think there was probably the expectations were just a little too high, and people were expecting to see a dominant team. And what we have is like a pretty good team, but not like, this isn't a team that's on the level of the Cassell, Garnett, Sprewell team in 2004. And I think that's what people were expecting, was just like, you bring these guys in, you know, Butler is a well-established star, and then you have Wiggins and Towns up and coming, and that it was just all going to, like, work right away, and, you know, and it's not that it's not working, because they're about where you would want them to be, but it just hasn't been as easy as people thought it was.
It's been difficult to watch, and they kind of won ugly a lot, so that's part of it. I guess, because we can get into some of the things that have worked, haven't worked, and I certainly think they're not immune from criticism. We can talk about some of those things, but
I guess the weird part for me is I get that if that's all fan-based, but it seems like, you know, the national media is kind of piled on that narrative too. And, like, yeah, you'd always rather a team exceed expectations than meet expectations, but, like, if they were expecting that dominant Wolves team, then why didn't they pick that? I guess what's confusing to me in the way they've been covered is, like, everybody thought they'd be about what they seem to have been through the first 25 games based on their predictions, but, like, they're doing that, and everybody's acting like it's been a terrible season.
I feel like it's the people who aren't watching every game are probably looking at it, and like, Giannis has rightfully so gotten tons of coverage, and, like, Porzingis.
The Sixers guys.
And Ben Simmons. And you just, like, Towns didn't take, like, a huge step forward this year.
Yeah, and I think that's been part of it, is the Towns thing. Now, on the one, again, I'm of two minds on it, because on the one hand, you can say he hasn't improved to the rate like Porzingis or, you know, Joel Embiid has or something like that, but that's because he came in way ahead of those guys.
Yeah.
So, like, they're kind of catching up to him now. He was very advanced when he came in the league. A big part of it's the defense, and look, that's been a problem, and you can find plenty of clips where he isn't playing good defense. I do think what happens sometimes is that becomes the narrative, and then people just don't give up on that for a while. I think he gets accused of not trying hard on defense, which I do think, at least over the past few weeks or so, he has tried harder. He still gets confused at sometimes, but I think people sometimes isolate clips and then say, oh, look, Towns isn't playing defense. And you can do that with just about any player.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that, and, you know, there was one instance where Butler kind of yelled at him about complaining about calls. And that's been, you know, held on to for 2 weeks of, oh, Butler doesn't get along with Towns. And it's like, you know, guys snap at each other on the court from time to time.
Yeah, and I think with that, too, it does seem like it was sort of like the James Harden, Chris Paul thing where everybody was doing the narrative of how they're not going to be able to share the ball. Mm-hmm. This isn't going to work. And then, like, they made that commercial together where they made a joke about it. Mm-hmm. Like, I do wonder, like, if Towns and Butler are like, oh, you guys are still talking about that? Like,
yeah,
that wasn't a big deal.
So, no, I don't think they... I think the chemistry stuff gets overblown. I mean, on the other hand, you know, there are some issues. And I think, you know, their offense, fifth rate in the league, it's certainly been effective. But as we said, it hasn't necessarily been pretty to watch. There's been some issues of kind of spreading the ball around. You've had games where Towns has only shot the ball six times. It kind of bogs down the stretch. And then obviously the defense, you know, the expectation you bring in Tom Thibodeau, you don't expect it to be a bottom five defense in the league, which is where they're at right now. So that's been, I guess, the biggest problems with it. And then recently here too, I mean, Thibodeau is, again, I guess you had to expect this given what he did in Chicago, but is just playing the shit out of the starters. So.
Yeah, I think that could play into it too, is it does just seem like they're working really hard.
Yeah. And I was listening to the Suhan Krasinski or whatever,
mm-hmm.
They were kind of talking about the minutes, and I think this made a lot of sense to me, but that they just really needed to string together a couple wins, and so he's, you know, shortening the lineup to playing only, you know, seven or eight guys down the stretch to get some continuity.
Yeah.
But
do you really need a couple wins in early December, though, at the expense of doing that? I guess my thing with it has been, I think he could get a little more creative with the way he's staggering. If you have to only play eight players, I guess, you know, I don't know why you assembled such a terrible bench then, because, you know, he put the roster together, and Shabazz Muhammad can't play, and, you know, they have Cole Aldrich, and, you know, who signed those guys? So that's partly his fault. But, like, Tyus Jones, I think, has played, like, 12 to 15 minutes the last two or three games. Even if you're only going to use eight players, Tyus was playing 40 minutes when Jeff Teague was hurt. He can't play 20 coming off the bench.
Yeah, it's like a
stagger
point.
A little bit. So, you know.
Well, and he's not like Tyus isn't like a liability on the level that, like, maybe Shabazz.
No, I mean, if right
Cole
now.
Aldrich.
Yeah, you know, Bielitsa's hurt, so okay, if you feel like you only have eight players, I would still question if you can't, you know, find Shabazz 5 minutes and, you know, put him out there with guys that, you know, accentuate what he does and hide him for a few minutes just to give Butler a breather. But, yeah, I mean, then you can still play Tyus and Gorgie and, Jamal Crawford, I guess, 20 minutes or so and stagger it that way.
The only other thing that I'm thinking is, could some of these minutes be, it's not necessarily that he wants to, but because that fourth quarter has been so atrocious, like, they need, like, he would like it if he could get the bench out there to kill some minutes then, but they're not building up enough of a lead.
Yeah, I mean, look, the bench has been terrible when they've come in, so that's why he's doing it.
But, yeah. Which, yeah, again, that gets back to have a better bench, but I just, if you're, you know, you're getting to the end of the game and you're fighting to get that win and every possession matters, like, yeah, you probably doesn't feel confident taking anybody out for even a few minutes.
Yeah, I just think it's caused the starters to play worse. And, you know,
The
offense bogs down in the fourth quarter and everyone gets mad at them. Why did they just stand around and start settling for jump shots in the fourth quarter? And, you know, some of that could be the nature of the players and figuring out who's going to take the shots. Or it could just be
they really played 38 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. So I think when you talk about overplaying guys, you worry about it in the context of injuries, and that can certainly be a factor. It was a problem for him in Chicago, but it can also just cause your starters to not play as well. And I think, you know, get back to the Towns thing, he gets dinged for being lazy about running back on defense sometimes. Well, again, if he's tired, he's not going to run back on defense as hard. So,
yeah, and obviously I couldn't write the Tom Thibodeau biography by any means, but it does just sort of seem like he'd be the type of personality that wouldn't accept, like, coach, we're getting tired.
No, and, you know, it's when you make him the coach and the president of basketball operations, there's no real checks and balances.
Yeah.
You know, there's no one, Glenn Taylor, I guess, technically could, but there's no one else in the organization that can be like, hey, let's maybe play the guy some fewer minutes. Maybe Butler has enough cachet with him to say something, and he kind of made a comment after the Clippers game, you know, half-jokingly, but maybe something like that gets through, and the schedule eases up for him a little bit in terms of how many games they play, you know, coming up, so maybe that'll help too. But, yeah, it's, that part of it has been a little frustrating, but, yeah, he's a pretty rigid personality.
Yeah.
I think, you know, what you like is, as you go around the league, is there's a lot of coaches that are quite a bit more creative with how they use guys and testing things out. I think he kind of has had the mindset of, this is what we do, you know, this is how I coach, so.
Yeah,
do you get the sense that he's, like, really good at, teaching the guys his defense, or do you think, like, he's had good assistants over the years that have maybe been better?
I mean, I think he has to get a lot of credit. He was, you know, I guess when you can say he was the assistant in Boston and built that defense, part of that was having Kevin Garnett, and he's made a lot of people look good. But I don't know. I mean, it's hard to argue with the results he had in Chicago. He did have that Ron Adams guy with him for a couple of years, who's Golden State's defensive coordinator now. But, no, I mean, I think his defense has worked. I mean, I guess you could have raised the question of it worked really well 4 or 5 years ago, and the NBA has changed a lot over the last 4 or 5 years, so maybe there's ways to attack it now that he hasn't adjusted to, but...
Well, has anybody... Because I've heard that argument for a while. Has anybody, put side by side his defensive structure next to each other and said, wow, they're doing the exact same thing that the Bulls did?
I haven't seen that. I mean, I assume it's essentially the same scheme. And he's had, you know, at times guys get confused about their assignments and stuff. I don't know what the answer to it is. If, you know, Towns and Wiggins have never been a part of a good defense, you know, through three coaches now. And part of that was, you know, when they're rookies are almost never good defensively. And it does take a lot of time. You know, DeAndre Jordan took about 4 or 5 years to become a really good defender. Andre Drummond is kind of just figuring it out this year after several years in the league. So maybe Towns is just going to take another couple of years to figure out how to do it. He certainly seems to have the physical tools to be a good defender. It just hasn't all come together yet. But it does, I have noticed, you know, watching almost every game, his effort level seems to have picked up. And he is a guy that really cares about his status in the league and wants to be one of the all-time greats. So I'm sure he's aware of the fact that he's kind of been outshone by Embiid and Porzingis and those guys. And if that's not going to motivate him, I don't know what will. So
yeah. As far as the plan for Butler to come in, I guess it's a little hard if the defense as a whole, but the idea that Butler would come in and he would start picking up, you know, the other team's top shooter, and then Wiggins would be able to drop down a peg. Has that seemed to work so far, or?
I mean,
I guess the thing for me is like, I've, of the games that I've watched, I guess I did just get caught up in the hype, but I guess I thought, like, Jimmy Butler would be more exciting to watch. And maybe I've just seen him on off nights, but I really, like, whenever I've watched him, it's never been like, oh, he looks really good.
He's become a little more aggressive scoring the past couple games. Now, you know, for that was partly at the expense of Towns, which was a problem. But, yeah, he did kind of look to distribute a lot early in the year. Yeah, I mean, he's had a few signature games. He kind of dragged them to that win at home against the Clippers last Sunday. Yeah. He's had a few games like that.
He had the flu game.
Yeah.
That was the best game I saw him play.
Yeah.
Well, should we ever talk about that on the pod?
Pneumonia game or
whatever. Our theory about the flu?
Yeah, I was worried at the time, like, maybe he was pissed or something and just walked away for a couple games. Well, but it doesn't seem like that. We did talk about that, yeah.
And then we proved that wrong, right? Because there was that interview he did where he fell out of the canoe into the lake.
Yeah, but that was recorded, like, in September.
Okay, so unrelated.
Yeah.
Okay. Because that released around the time that he was sick.
Yeah.
And so I was like, holy shit, he did a stunt for an interview and got sick, and now he's going to miss a couple games? Like, how is this
not a bigger deal? Yeah, I don't think that was the timing of it, but...
But I do remember right before that big game he had, where I think he kind of took it into his own hands, and it was the first game as a Timberwolf where he really hit big shots down the stretch. I think we were very worried about him on the Wolves bench in the Wolves locker room before that episode.
Yeah, they do have kind of a weird mix of personalities, so it'll be interesting to watch, you know, how that plays out through the year. But, you know, again, so we talked about the meeting expectations. I think all of this stuff, you know, if you're coming at Thibodeau with all this criticism, he's going to point at the standings. And he's going to say, this team hasn't made the playoffs since 2004. We're in fourth place in the Western Conference.
So shut up.
And in fairness...
Shut the fuck up!
Yeah, I mean, in fairness, that's a pretty good rebuttal. Yeah. Now, I mean, certainly I don't want that to come at the expense of the long-term health of the team. And if this becomes their ceiling, that's going to be disappointing because, I mean, 2 years ago it looked like they were kind of the next OKC Thunder.
Yeah.
So you don't want them to give up that ceiling. But, you know, I was trying to put it in context, and you hear 2004. I mean, obviously that's a long time, but I was realizing they last made the playoffs LeBron James' rookie year. That's the last time they made the playoffs. That's quite a bit of time.
Yeah, that's really strange.
So... You know, I like I said, they're not immune to criticism. There's things they have to get better at. I've been nonplussed watching them a few times. We're probably not in a great position to complain.
No.
This team's been terrible for a long time.
Yeah.
So.
And, I mean, it's, you know, yeah, you'd hope that, like, Bielitsa can come back and all of a sudden the minutes even out a little bit. Like, their games against OKC so far have been great games. Like, they've played them really, really well. And that's super exciting if you do want to look... Maybe not look forward to the playoffs just quite yet. There's a long ways to go. But, I mean, they're playing... They can play good teams well.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, they're... And, you know, the defense, if that doesn't improve, could be a problem. They're not blowing anybody out, so maybe they fall off from this pace a little bit. But if they stay on the pace they're on... Again, they're a middle-of-the-pack playoff team, depending on the matchup. Maybe they can win their first series, and then they'll get stomped in the second round if they get that far. But, like, again, no one came into this year thinking they were as good as the Warriors or the Rockets.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would be great if they were on that level, but they're not. And we knew they weren't going to be. So
just like it or lump it.
That's the way it goes. But... Yeah, I mean, I think, too, you know, Justin Patton, their first-round pick, is rehabbing in the G League. I don't know that they necessarily need another big guy or if he'll get a ton of minutes, but he could be another option as he works his way back.
Completely forgot they even had a first rounder.
They drafted him and he immediately broke his foot.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
That's
kind of
right,
made it hard to keep track of him. But
I kind of remember that guy now.
So sidebar, there is a D League and a G League.
The D League is now the G League.
This is what I thought because I heard people start referring to it as the G League.
Gatorade
like,
sponsored the D League, so they started calling it.
I thought that it was like a fun nickname because the D League sounded like kind of bad. Like, oh, he's down in the D League. And then so everyone was like, oh, no, that's the G League.
Yeah.
But that does sound better.
It's, yeah.
It stands for Gatorade.
Gatorade's first letter is G. So there you go.
The Gatorade.
But,
it's in the Gatorade League.
But I think, too.
Kind of like the Grapefruit League.
Are they all named after, like, different flavors?
They're on the blue.
Just sit. It's got to be a
blue
little.
Blue Blast.
They're at the Iowa
citrusy
blue,
and
the Iowa
Florida related.
Yeah. But no, I think too. I mean,
the pomegranate.
There were some DeAndre Jordan rumors, and I don't think they are going to get involved in that, or that they necessarily should. But I wouldn't be surprised if, at some point, you know, in February, they try to add another either wing defender or 3-point shooter, or give them a few more options there too in a trade. So it could look a little bit different as they go down the stretch. But yeah, I mean, I guess. It's been annoying maybe to have a lot of it be criticism-based, but it's nice to have them be relevant again. I mean, for so many years, they just were not getting talked about. So.
And it's... God, they are set up. Like, the Wild are so uninspiring, we're not even going to frickin' talk about them.
No, yeah, it's not...
So, it's like if they... And they're playing well. It's like, this is their year to draw some fans.
I mean, they would probably be even more inspiring through the first half of their season if the Vikings weren't looking like a Super Bowl
also
contender.
True. Right.
Yeah, I mean, it is set up for them whenever the Vikings are done playing, so.
Yeah. Well, right at that time, the Wild will go on a giant run and everybody will be into it again.
Spring training baseball. Pitchers and catchers.
What is it, like, how many days?
Well, it was 69 days a few days ago.
The Twins informed us on social media.
Sean Flanagan liked that.
Sean Flanagan got a new job as the Twins' head of social media. He was
he quickly
fired
lost
after one day.
Quickly lost.
Dave St. Peter was like, "Let's keep our posts appropriate."
That's enough of that.
Well, should we end with a Dave St. Peter?
Why not? That was the best Dave St. Peter impression there's
we
probably ever been.
We have cornered the podcast market on Dave St. Peter impressions and whistling. We'll talk to you again later. That's our new theme song.
All right, we probably end it there.